Well, welcome to the online version of the youth message. Really, it's a message for all of us children of God, because we're all young at heart. Amen. The original part of this was to keep in contact with the youth, and it still is. But since we're all youth, I like to look at the scripture and give you a message very, very similar to what we talk about on Sunday in church as we follow the lectionary. This week in the lectionary comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. But I want to keep us in mind on the 18th chapter of John. It's got a lot of subtitles, and it's that Jesus was being betrayed and arrested. Ananias questioned Jesus. Peter's first denial of Jesus. And then the high priest questioning Jesus. And then Peter's second and third denials. And then we have the trial before Pilate. Now, the trial before Pilate, the Jewish people were trying to say to, well, you know, he's a criminal, so he needs to be charged with being a criminal, and we need to turn him over to the Romans, because the Jewish people could not execute anybody, because if they weren't found guilty of something other than being a criminal, if he was found guilty of being a criminal, we can't do nothing, Romans, and you got to be being able to execute somebody. This is the fulfilled prediction about the way he would die. Well, then Pilate, in verse 33, went back inside and called for Jesus to be brought to him. Are you the king of the Jews? He asked him, and Jesus replied, is this your own question, or did others tell you to ask me? Am I a Jew? Pilate asked. Your own people and their leading priests brought you here. Why? What have you done? And then Jesus answered, I am not an earthly king. If I were, my followers would have fought when I was arrested by the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. And then Pilate replied, well, then you are a king. Jesus said, you say that I'm a king, and you're right. I was born for that purpose, and I came to bring truth to the world. All who love truth recognize me for what I say is true. That's at the verse 37, and I just want to go on a little bit to verse 38. What's truth? Pilate asked. And then he went out again to the people and told them, he's not guilty of any crime. But you have a custom asking me to release someone from prison each year at Passover. So if you want me to, I'll release the king of the Jews. No, not this man, but Barabbas. Barabbas, if you remember in the story, was a criminal. But that question, what is truth? Pilate asked. And it's a question that comes from the lips of a career bureaucrat accustomed to determining truth by the direction of a political prevailing wind. But it is also the question that lies at the heart of all human experience. Is there a moral and spiritual center that gives life meaning and around everything that evolves? Although Scripture says that Pilate put the question to Jesus, he did not really expect an answer. He didn't want to deal with Jesus at all. He tried to get Jesus to defend himself or recant. He tried to convince the Jewish authorities to let Jesus go, but he clearly did not want to wrestle with the predicament or these fantastic claims about being the Messiah. Pilate's avoidance became a decision against eternal truth. And I think the question for all of us is, what is truth? And what we need to do in order to search for the truth is just listen to the Holy Spirit for the answer. Well, may God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of the scriptures in John chapter 18. But I entitled my message, King of Nobody's Castle. Think about that. Are you the king of your castle? Well, there was a woman once that said that to her husband, "Are you the king of the castle?" when he became demanding and moody. Well, I want to tell you this story because it's about human characteristics, I guess, to say, because of no other reason. And I want to tell you this in the way that it is really a true experience. And I want to use the name Ralph to protect the innocent. And it could be some things in my life, too, that I can reflect on, my previous life before I accepted Christ into my life. And then I began to change little by little during that pruning part of my life. So I want to tell you about Ralph. Could be a nice enough guy sometimes, particularly to his buddies down at the shop or even at the bar, but other times, particularly to his wife. He could be downright ornery, and today was one of those days when he wasn't happy with anything. Ralph was a guy who felt the world owed him something better. Although he had a job, a home, and a wife, he wasn't happy with anything. So he took it out on everyone around him, and that usually was his wife. So what was Ralph's problem? Yeah, he was arrogant, definitely mean at times, probably a good deal narcissistic, self-centered, and oh yeah, he was also lonely. Because when you push everyone in your life away, life becomes a very solitary space, amen? So when you're at the head of an empty table, no one is celebrating with you. And when you're the king of your own private castle, you find that you have no kingdom at all. Now, most of us would feel sorry for this old Ralphie guy. And yet many of us do the very same thing in our lives to one degree or another. We create our own kingdoms. We create things that where we want to control our environment, our world, and our outcomes, but in which we don't let anybody in, especially not Jesus. And since he always seems to challenge our assumptions, doesn't he? How many of you are certain that there is only one right way to do something? How many of you have won an argument based on having more knowledge, more status, more clout? How many of us have stockpiled an arsenal of excuses for any infringement on our space or time? How many of us are driven to build your own babbles of control or power so that you can feel secure in your own space, in your own home, in your own workplace, and, yeah, even your job? Well, maybe even in your own church. We are all, to some extent, kings of nobody's castle. It's no wonder that Jesus' contemporaries couldn't wrap their heads around him or his mission. He was so different from anyone that they knew. He didn't even seem to be invested in status or power or money or prestige. What kind of guy was he? He didn't seem to be prepping to battle the injustices of Rome or mount an insurgence against the authorities. He didn't even seem to be prepared to take over the throne of Herod or the office of Pilate. He didn't even seem to want to take over the temple. And yet, everyone around him was sure that one of these must be his goal. Everyone was threatened by him, except, oddly enough, Pilate. Did you notice that in the scripture story? Pilate, probably due to his wife's eerie dream, as more spooked than threatened by Jesus, he truly believes that he's done nothing wrong. He wants nothing to do with this Jesus, especially the punishment, or what he sees as the Jewish leaders' petty and internal situations that are charging him with all kinds of things. Herod, too, didn't want nothing to do with this person, so the Jews just passed him off to Pilate. Well, the conversation in our scriptures today between Pilate and Jesus is a brief verbal sparring, which convinces Pilate that Jesus is most likely much more harmless than his angry Jewish contemporaries claim. He sees right away that Jesus likely makes them angry, not so much by his power that he craves, but that the truth that he wields. Jesus, in the conversation, refuses to say he is king at all. He does not say that his kingdom is not of this world, but for why he came into the world, Jesus said he came to testify to the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and they didn't see it. He's verbally evasive, and Pilate can't pin a single thing on him. Even if Pilate's Roman sense of truth is relative, he still can't find any fault with Jesus. This will end up making him extremely uncomfortable. There's something that we revisit when we come to these scriptures again in Holy Week, in Easter time. In Jesus' last line in this passage today, he said, "Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice." This is one of these most important statements that Jesus makes, and it reveals both his mission and his identity, although Pilate doesn't catch it. Jesus is the truth in his divine nature because, get this, church, he is the voice of God. You see, truth is really important to the rabbinic Judaism, all the rabbis. In fact, the Babylonian Talmud, we read, "Truth is the seal of the Holy One. Blessed be he, the God of truth, is found wherever there is truth, and his absence felt wherever there is falsehood." In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The Lord God is truth." That's what the prophet Jeremiah said. And the Jewish faith believes in an authoritative, absolute, universal truth to which one should strive. And that ultimate truth is God, God Almighty. Again, I reiterate what Jesus said. "I am the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." But the Torah, true, which is the Jewish Bible, is said to be truth. Jews are constantly in pursuit of truth and truth-telling, seeking hidden treasures within the Torah. That's why we study God's Word, even the Bible. Through studying and seeking God's truth, the Jewish people can hear God's voice and come close to the presence of God in their life. But they, most of them, miss the Messiah, the truth, and the way. Jesus is now presenting himself as the living Torah, the living person of God through the Bible, the voice piece of God, and the truth standing before them, to testify to the truth. Then it's easy to testify to the person and the identity of Jesus. Amen? Jesus is a king, not because of status, not because he lives in a castle, not because he has subjects or power, but simply because of his intrinsic identity. And he is the voice of God. He's the voice of truth. Now, truth is not something that is someone, because we seek to be in a relationship with him. He is Torah. He is truth. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the Holy One of God Almighty. And he is the King of Kings. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And now we cannot seek truth and not seek Jesus. We cannot seek Jesus alone in our solitary tower, our isolation. Because truth is about relationships. Truth is about celebrating God and each other in community. That's why we come to church, to encourage one another in the faith. The community of God. Truth is being authentically open to others and allowing them into our world without strings, without rules, without barriers. Because truth is about celebrating God in the midst of that community and recognizing that truth and love reigns wherever God is present. So this coming week, all of us, or most of us, will celebrate an American holiday tradition known as Thanksgiving. And this is a time when faithful people, grateful people, come together in family and community to eat at the table together, to celebrate unity over our differences and to celebrate the truth of God, who brings us through adversity and into a place of abundance, wellness, love, and peace. And I hope all of us this season of Thanksgiving, that we will make sure that we have a special seat for Jesus at the table. You know, when the Jews do the Passover meal, they always put an empty seat for maybe the return of Elijah. But really, it'd be a good idea to put an empty chair at the table for Jesus. I think then your home will be blessed, as it is anyhow, if Jesus is alive and well in your heart and in your family. But it sends a powerful message that may Jesus be the king of your castle, and may your castle be filled with people, happiness, joy, and power. And may you experience the truth of Christ in your life and the peace of Jesus in your home and the peace that passes all understanding. Now, I just want to add a little something, because I think this particular Thanksgiving season and holiday is probably one of the most challenging times in our life, or at least in recent history. Why? Well, because now more than ever, people are not sure what to be thankful for. You know, this thing with COVID, the politics, and all kinds of crazy stuff that goes on in our world. Sometimes we think, I am thankful, but what am I thankful for? I think because of the events of this past year and a half have certainly caused tension and division in families and other relationships, and some people struggle finding reasons to be grateful. Early on in this COVID thing, with all the lockdowns and everything, we weren't allowed to see our grandchildren for over 5 months, and maybe some of you had some of the similar experiences. I think that's why it's crucial to point out family members, everyone that we talk to, to point to God's Word on the topic of thanksgiving and thankfulness, gratitude, as the foundation of our Thanksgiving message with family and friends. The Bible, the Word of God, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." You notice the word "in all circumstances," and not for all circumstances. Because some circumstances that we get involved in, we're not thankful for that. But in all circumstances, God would never want us to be thankful for the hurtful, the evil, the mean things of this world. Viruses and diseases and pestilences that talks about even in the book of Revelation. But instead, he calls us to be especially thankful in those times. Thanksgiving is a perfect opportunity to give a word of thankfulness and praise the one who gave it all on the cross of Calvary. Oh, thank you, Jesus, because we are truly thankful for your creation, for creating us, Lord, in your image. And even though we don't understand all the things, we can trust into the blessed hope that we have. The blessed hope of your Son coming to this world to show us eternal life, and the hope that we have in you, the God who created us. Well, I hope and pray you're having a good Thanksgiving day this coming week, and just know that God loves you, we love you, and the Bethel United Methodist Church is in full of thankfulness for you, the members of the church, and people who come and visit us. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. Amen.